Welcome to Taste and See, a conversational podcast where we discuss what it looks like to savor and share God's goodness through home. I'm your host, Jessica, and today I'm talking with a good friend of mine, also named Jessica. Welcome, friend. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast today.
Hi.
Jessica and I met, I think, 9 or 10 years ago at our church in Texas, right after both of us got married. We actually got married on the same day, but we didn't know each other at the time. And then over the years have had kids pretty close in age and have also bonded over a shared love of books, which is why I've asked her on the podcast today. The topic of books might seem like an odd one for a podcast centered on practical hospitality, but it was through book club that Jess and I have become better friends over the years and grown a love for books and then grown a whole friend group over this topic of books through a book club that she started, I think, 7 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I was trying to look that up. I think 2016.
Yeah, so 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah, it's been a long time. I often hear from women kind of in our same age group or life stage just saying that friendships are really hard and where do we find friends and how do I make friends and keep friends and where to build those kinds of relationships. So I'm hoping that this topic will be kind of a combination of several of these things for us: hospitality, friendship, and books, which I think that Jessica and I could talk about forever. But before we get started, can you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your family?
So I am Jessica Economidis. I'm married. I have 4 children, 3 boys and a girl. I'm a homeschool mom. I was an English major in college, and then I taught high school English in kind of a variety of settings. Reading has always been a big part of my life for as long as I can remember. I've always loved reading and I love books. Just a story I thought of when my 5-year-old was assigning superpowers to everyone in our family. He said that I sat and threw books at people to give them paper cuts. So that's just an example of my reputation.
He knows you.
My kids, he knows me. But yeah, reading can be so, solitary, but book club really just invites community together into your reading. And I think we've really found that.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this topic. When I thought of it a few weeks ago, I was like, yes, this totally makes sense. Book club and hospitality can really go hand in hand. And I think especially because one of my goals with this podcast is to help people think outside the box, and that hospitality does not have to be just sit down dinners on a Friday night, but that there are so many different ways to love people, invite people in, make, you know, build relationships and make people feel welcome that don't look like just the traditional dinner in your home. So I want to hear from you what kind of motivated you to start the book club, what the genesis of it all was, and then we'll go from there.
So 2016, I was at a baby shower for my sister-in-law, and it just kind of came to me that we had sat and talked about grocery shopping for 45 minutes. We were all young moms and homemakers, and just that was all we had to talk about was grocery shopping. And nothing wrong with that. It is a big part of our lives, but man, it can get boring. So I made a comment like, oh my goodness, listen to us. We have talked about nothing but grocery shopping. So my other friend, Sarah, asked me if I'd read any good books lately. And then we just had a great conversation about books, books that we love and what we've been reading. And so that kind of gave me the idea. I remember driving home from that baby shower just filled with ideas of starting a book club. And that just how, like you said, being more purposeful with our friendships has really helped us, because, I mean, we were people that knew each other well, but didn't have a lot to talk about. So talking about books really is a shortcut to discussing things that really matter and get you kind of beyond small talk.
I would say another neat thing that I enjoy about the women who have been a part of our podcast, I mean, the book club for so long, is that we're all from the same church. So we do all know one another, but some of the women, like I, you know, might pass in the hallways at church or see occasionally at a baby shower, but they're not necessarily women that I've had as much time to interact with on Sundays, because we serve in different areas, we go to different Sunday school classes, whatever it might be. So then it's been a really neat time to get to know people outside of my closest circle of friends that I naturally, you know, see on a weekly basis and I'm keeping up with, to have also that once a month seeing kind of a whole different circle of friends and having this time to catch up and spend time together. And I appreciate the way that you have really invited people in very thoughtfully, because I think often book clubs are, which again, there's nothing wrong with this, but often book clubs are like, you know, you get your four or five best friends together, you pick a book, you go to a coffee shop or whatever, and you get to once a month hang out together, which is great. But I think it's been also been really fun that you didn't just invite your four closest friends. You kind of were thoughtful about who do I know that enjoys reading, who might really benefit from these conversations or these relationships, and have made people feel welcome in that way. I also really love what you said about how Sarah asked, have you read anything interesting lately? Because that's like one of my favorite things to ask people to get us out of that small talk rut, because it does kind of open the door to really get to know someone. What are their interests? What are they thinking about? Obviously, that is what we do at book club, is we sit and say, what have you read? And we want to hear it, which leads me to something that's, I think, is kind of unique about our book club. In talking to other people, anytime I share about our book club, I don't know that I've ever heard of anyone that has done it this way. And it's one of my favorite things, which is that we don't all read the same book every month, which it wasn't always like that. In the beginning, we did. Am I remembering that correctly?
We did more. I think at the I was trying to remember that. I think from the beginning, I did it kind of this way. But we more often, okay. I would choose a book.
I was trying to remember. It seemed like it was more of a thing in the beginning, where you would say, hey, like, I'm reading this, or let's read this and talk about it, which again is kind of the typical book club experience.
It was definitely more of like fly by the seat of my pants. Next month, let's talk about this. I do remember thinking that. I just didn't want the responsibility of trying to pick a book that everyone would read every month.
Yeah.
Just, we're all thoughtful Christian readers, but everyone has different sensitivities and sensibilities. And so I wanted to be careful about that. And so that was really the first thought with like saying, we're all going to read this every month.
Yeah.
But I also knew in our stage of life, the beginning, we were all having kids. Now our kids are getting a little older, but we had very limited time. And I knew that people just wouldn't read the books if they weren't interested, you know, unless they already had a desire to read it. We were sleep deprived and busy, you know, so we really needed to want to read it. And so those are kind of my two reasons.
Yeah, it makes, I mean, it makes total sense. We love it so much. And I think there have been some unintended or consequences to that we didn't even think about, or you didn't think about in the beginning. Just that I personally, like, it's true that if I'm not invested in a book or I'm not really excited about reading it, I can't make time for reading things that I'm not interested in or I don't see as valuable for me in this moment or whatever. Also, just it's helped me to read so much more broadly, because what happens is, well, I guess let's talk about this first. You do have categories that you've done.
Yeah. So I think I probably got the idea from Tim Challey's reading challenge, because I think 2016 was the first year that I did his reading challenge. And so he does that every year where he gives you a list of categories to read, and you can kind of choose your level as far as how many books you think you'll get through in a year, and just check off the different categories. And so I think that's where I got the idea. So yeah, each month I pick a broad category. Now I plan it out at the beginning so that I can get, you know, stretch us in to be a little more broad. Usually every year we do a book on missions, and then we might do something like children's literature, biography, Christian living. I try to choose a variety of fiction or nonfiction, or even categories that could be any, like something over 100 years old. You could pick either, whatever, you know, is on your list that you want to read. But yeah, it does really push us to read more broadly versus just the low-hanging fruit and kind of having a little bit more of a plan.
Yeah, because we all like what we like. I mean, my natural bent is I could read Agatha Christie for the rest of my life and be really happy with that. But obviously, I don't want to just read that. But it's really hard to find good book recommendations, especially as a believer, finding someone who's taste you trust and style you trust and standards you trust, things like that. But obviously, sitting around with friends and hearing people talk about so many different books that they're reading in different genres or different authors, some fiction, some nonfiction. My to read list is never wanting. Like, I always have books that I'm interested in reading, because I've just heard about every month. I hear about a whole new wave of books that everyone's read, and now I'm interested in reading as well.
Yeah, it works really well for us. I do think it technically makes us a literary society, not a book club. I've seen people say that.
I haven't heard that distinction. You know, when we're getting together, we are not talking about books 100% of the time. I mean, we meet, which you can talk practically about what it looks like for us. We meet at a coffee shop, kind of tell a little bit about what it looks like for us on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So generally, we meet at a coffee shop. It's been interesting over the pandemic. Several of our places have gone out of business. So that's one of the things, like being the person that makes the plans, you know, really is an aspect of hospitality and like trying to find a good place and finding a place that's open late enough. Cause when we do get together, we will shut the place down, you know, like we're there for hours.
And then we move outside and stand and on the curb and talk for another.
It's the bugs or the cold drive us away. Yeah. But so that's been kind of hard to find a place that stays open late enough for us. We meet at a coffee shop and just everyone usually gets a drink and we kind of sit around and talk.
Yeah. We all trickle in. Supposed to start at 7, you know, we start at 7, but people have soccer games or whatever, getting kids to bed. And so everyone kind of hangs out for a while. And then we go around and talk about the category is a favorite children's book or something, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes around. We give short synopsis or kind of say what we did or didn't like about it. So everyone can hear about it. It can sometimes be a slow process because sometimes someone talks about a book, it opens up a can of worms and we're all talking about that for 30 minutes or an hour. But like for this month, y'all talked about, because it was a missions category, y'all talked about the most recent Elizabeth Elliot book, which I know was big discussion there. So yeah, it does kind of what you're saying, like, what have you been reading lately can spur so much discussion. So it kind of mushrooms from there into a lot of other conversations.
Yeah. And it's really helpful. One thing I was thinking of is that especially the age where we are, where our kids are getting older and they're reading independently and trying to keep them in books. So that's been a really helpful thing too, is like after we kind of all talk about our books, then a lot of times we end up talking about, okay, well, what are your kids reading and liking and what are you finding, or picture books, Bible study, you know, what resources are you using with your kids? So that's been really helpful too for me and for everyone, I think. One thing about doing it in this format is you do kind of have to be thoughtful about spoilers. So generally, you know, when people are sharing their synopsis, they try to keep it spoiler free in case someone wants to read it. For this being Elizabeth Elliot, I was letting people know for like several weeks, several months, we're going to talk about it in January. I've been sitting on this book for a couple of months and I need to talk about it and there will be spoilers, you know, so just being thoughtful about things like that, because it really can hamper a conversation if people come and like, well, no, I haven't finished, you know, so I'll say ahead of time, we will talk about it. If you really care, you better read the book.
Tell me, I want to hear a little bit about your perspective on reading as a believer. I think there can be a wide variety of opinions or preferences, I guess, on this topic. You know, some people who'd be like, well, why would you ever take time to read anything other than the Bible? Or, you know, why, okay, you can read other things, but it needs to be all Christian or just missionary biographies or something like that. It has to all be very obviously edifying in some way. And I know that you and I kind of land in a different category, which is much more broad in the sense that God's glory and goodness can be seen through so much of literature, even if the author is not a believer. So I guess talk to me more about that and how you think through that in your own mind when you're choosing what to read.
One of the books I was going to recommend is Lit by Tony Ranke. He talks a lot about that. He really guides readers on how and why to read as a Christian. So I really recommend that. And I think it would be awesome to start a book club, you know, even doing that at the beginning, just to really kind of discuss people's thoughts and people's, you know, backgrounds. Yeah, like you said, my general perspective is that I'm looking for, you know, what is good and true and beautiful in what I read. And so there's a lot of ways and a lot of books that I've found things that are spiritually beneficial to me, you know, that aren't Christian books, whether I'm reading like social science. I love reading social science and seeing, well, obviously, because that's how God made the world, you know, like I can tell from scripture that you would find that conclusion that that's how people behave, or do find that really fun. I have the advantage since I read so fast, so I can get through a lot of books, so I could see. So I think a lot of it is just knowing yourself and knowing your capacity and your time, you know, so using your time well. One of the fun things that we've done is have a couple older leaders from our church, our pastor's wife, and another lady who loves to read, come one month and just tell us about some of their favorites. And so one of those ladies only reads nonfiction. And, you know, that's just the choice she made. She feels like she has limited time. So that's what she wants to read. And she doesn't only read Christian fiction, but she'll read like historical things too. So it's definitely, you know, a valid decision to make based on the, you know, the time that you have and what interests you. So I, yeah, that lit book by Ranke, he really goes into defending how and why we can read the great works of literature. And so I found that really helpful thinking through, you know, why even read these things.
I've had sometime in the last year or two, someone reached out to me knowing my love for Anne of Green Gables and Montgomery and her writing, just saying like, I recently learned more about Ellen Montgomery's personal life and I was very surprised. And I'm not going to say what it is, but if you don't know much about her personal life, especially the end of her life, it's probably not what you would expect if you've just grown up on Anne of Green Gables. And she was like, now I'm like really wrestling with, do I allow my daughters to read Anne of Green Gables? I love them. I grew up with them. Should I not? And she was kind of wrestling with that. And I just responded saying that the way I think about it similarly is just that good writing and good stories is an aspect of God's common grace to people everywhere. That in the same way that composers who are not believers can write beautiful music that moves us, that helps us think of God's glory and worship Him, and the same way that artists who are not Christians can paint beautiful things from the created world and again moves us, can move us towards worship. That's just an aspect of God's common grace. And so if the contents of a book are going to be edifying or, like you said, things that are good or true or beautiful or help us to think on those things, or even things like, it's not that we're not ever reading hard things or difficult things, but things that in the end are helping us kind of grapple with life in a good way.
Reality.
I think that, reality. I think that there is room for that. I don't think you have to only read Christian authors or only read Christian authors whose lives were perfect, because that doesn't even exist. So that is one of the ways that I just have been able to appreciate literature that comes from an unbeliever. Because sometimes, you know, you're reading something from an unbeliever and, you know, like they don't know Christ. And how are they saying these things that are ringing so true to what I know to be true in scripture? And again, I think that's just an aspect of God's common grace. I mean, He has written His law on our hearts so that even if someone is not fully submitted to that law, there are aspects of it they can't get away from, and it comes out in their art. So that's how I, you know, that's how we have kind of thought through books. And like you said earlier on, you know, there are going to be different sensitivities and everyone's going to have to kind of wrestle with those things on their own. Because there are, you know, there are going to be things that are not helpful for one person to read and might not bother another person or something like that. And so obviously being sensitive to those things is wise. And I'm glad you brought up the Tony Ranke book, which I'll list all the books that we talk about in the show notes so that people can go reference them. But I think that is a really great starting point, especially if you're trying to get a group of friends kind of on the same page. Why are we reading? Yeah. What's the point? Why is it important?
Yeah,
that would be really helpful. So,
and kind of figuring out what everyone likes and what everyone's interested in, you know, just would be so fun.
And we do have like in our group of friends, I mean, we have, it's really fun to see people's personalities come out in the books that they read, because we have people who like tend to lean towards reading a lot of young adult fiction. Some people like love to pick biographies or memoirs. Some people are really into like you said, the social science or more like brainy topics or something. So it feels like you're just getting to hear from all these different pockets of literature that, again, maybe you wouldn't explore on your own, but you're getting to dive into with friends. So a few other things that we've done is we've used it for baby showers, which is something that you kind of initiated. Again, when we started this, let's see, if it was almost 8 years ago, it would have been right after I had my second. So I've had two babies, and I think everyone's had at least one or two over the years.
So our church does a big baby shower for everyone for their first baby. But when most of us had, you know, our second, third, fourth, whatever babies, we don't really have anything. And so it's been fun just to acknowledge it, you know, and just do a little something. It's not dramatic. And most of the time we've still just met at the coffee shop and, but just brought gifts and usually like, you know, wipes and diapers and generally a lot of books, little baby books and board books. So that's so fun, you know, to just kind of see some of the, you know, everyone's favorite picture books or whatever that we do for those baby showers.
Like you said, I mean, everyone, some, it'll be like diapers, wipes, and books or gift cards to Amazon or Target. You know, it's nothing like huge. And it doesn't even take, it's not even like, hey, this is a baby shower and this is all we're doing. It's just like, hey, we're doing book club. We're also doing a baby shower for Kristen or whatever it might be. So bring diapers or whatever. And that's, it's just been like, again, a sweet way to encourage one another and build those friendships. So, okay. So tell me about what you do in the summer for the kids.
So I've had a couple of book parties for kids at the end of summer to celebrate summer reading was kind of my goal. Among our book club, there are a lot of kids. So it is a little bit overwhelming. So I'm still kind of figuring out how it's going to work out going forward. But I do.
I think everyone's almost done having kids. So I know, should be, you know, putting a cap on it soon.
At a static level. But it does get a little overwhelming. But just to celebrate summer reading and give the kids a chance to try to talk to each other about their favorite book they read that summer. So one year I did, like, we all sit down and one by one, they talk about their favorite book. Last year was a little more informal. I had like a coloring page for them to color of their favorite book. And then they kind of talked at tables amongst themselves. So I'm not sure what I prefer and what we'll see going forward. But, and then I had kind of bookish snacks and some prizes. I shared with them like a reading bingo at the beginning of the summer from Brighter Day Press puts out a little reading bingo at the beginning of summer. And so some of the kids did it. I mean, and depending on kids' ages, it may be me reading or mom reading to me or, you know, talking about what their favorite was. So my son, especially, he's just turned 9. He really loves it and talks about our book party and wanting to do that.
Again, like I said, I was actually there for last summer because we had just come home from Israel, but I've missed several summers of it before that, but it has been kind of a fun thing for our boys to be a part of. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was what I feel like is kind of the highlight of the year for us as a book club, which is the Christmas party that you throw every year and do a really good job of.
So for the Christmas party, I usually do try to pick one book for us all to read. A lot of times I try to do like a cozy mystery, kind of fits well in the winter to me. This year we did cookbooks and everyone kind of picked a favorite cookbook and cooked something from their book to bring it. But so this is the one, once or twice I generally have people in my home, but this is the main one is the Christmas party. So yeah, I pick a book for us all to read. It's usually potluck and I do as much as I can. I like to try to, you know, theme things around the book. So, you know, if it's a mystery in the 50s, I try to kind of gear the dishes towards things that might, you know, be from that era. One year we did Far From the Madding Crowd by Thomas Hardy. So I made a shepherd's pie because Gabriel, the main character is a shepherd. I don't know, just little things like that.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
I try to kind of think about the theme as much as I can. We do a book exchange. So everyone brings a wrapped book. And so that's always really fun. And generally kind of people we do like used or new, you know, so it can be like a favorite that somebody read this year that they can just bring that they're ready to pass on or, you know, something that they found that, you know, they think people would enjoy. And then I generally try to have some kind of activity. Some years it's been a game called Bring Your Own Book and you can find it on Amazon. And so we use the books that we got in the books exchange to play this game. So that's always really fun. This year we did watercolor and did some kind of like gift tags, a project watercolor stuff together. So that was really fun too, but some kind of activity. So it's just a little bit more structured than our normal book club.
It's a little bit of a longer evening too. I think we start earlier and have dinner together and all that. I do feel like it's the highlight of the year as far as book club goes for us to have that whole evening and you are really thoughtful about whether it's the table settings or the decorations or the food or the theme and the kind of the different elements of the night, tying it together with the theme of the book. And because we don't typically read books all together all year long, then just having that one month where we're all generally reading whatever book you've chosen, was really fun to like, okay, let's all talk about the same book tonight. And that is a fun, unique experience for us as well. So if Christmas doesn't work for people, you can do, you know, you could do it any time of year if you want to do a summer party, if that's a better time of year for people.
Or even like Valentine's, I've thought that might be fun sometime.
And then also another thing, one other thing that you've started doing, I think you've done it twice now, is the book club retreat, which again, I've missed twice, very sadly. I thought I was going to get to come this last fall and our plans changed and all of that. Anyways, tell me a little bit about those and what those look, have looked like.
So again, stage of life, they're pretty short. It would be wonderful to, you know, be a whole weekend, but you know, it's basically one night. We don't go real far, but I do, I have chosen to drive a couple of hours just so it's a little bit more of like an event and
a little bit of a disconnect from home.
Yes. And I didn't want it to be like we could come and go. I don't know. It's like we're going, getting away together. And I try to keep it pretty, pretty relaxed, not schedule a lot of things. We're not just like going, going, going. Again, I've chosen a book for us to do for the retreats, for us to talk about so that we can, you know, discuss that. So we kind of leave on a Friday. We'll do a little kind of shopping, sightseeing, mainly because you can't get into an Airbnb until the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to fill up some time. Yeah. So antiques, and there's a really good bookstore, the place we've gone on our retreat. So things like that. We'll get coffee and then we cook dinner. This last year we worked a puzzle, watched a movie, had dessert, you know, talked about our book and just really kind of relaxed, and then kind of had a slow morning and did some of the same stuff, you know, the next day, and just ate lunch together. And it's really fun. And it's just as moms, we don't get to do it very often, you know, get away and be together, especially with friends. Yeah. Intentional time together.
Good food, talking to friends, shopping, you know, without interruption. That's about, I feel like that's pretty much it. Okay, so before we wrap up, I did want to just run through. I thought we could each recommend a few books that we've really enjoyed over the years in book club.
So I already mentioned Lit by Tony Renke. I think that would just be great to really start. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll start with some nonfiction things that have just led to really good discussions. Practicing Affirmation by Sam Crabtree talks about how we speak to other people and being encouraging. And anyway, it's come up a lot in our discussions, and I've already read it twice, and I just really think everyone should read it. Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Deepa Rose. It's a really, really incredible story. And again, lots to talk about. For the retreat this year, we did A Severe Mercy by Sheldon Van Auken. I'm not sure everyone loved it as much as I do, but it's still, that is one thing that starting a book club, you have to get over, that people will not like the books that I like, and that's fine. And it leads to really good discussions if people disagree.
It is a unique book, but I mean, I love it. It's what I would list it on a favorite book list. But I think people either love it or hate it, or like really annoyed by Sheldon, or like it's one or the other.
Yeah. The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown is the one that a lot of people have really loved. Oh, and Funny and Farsi by Firouzja Dumas is my last nonfiction. That's a memoir of a lady who came from Iran to the U.S. as a child, and it's just hilarious. So if you need something pretty lighthearted but really fun to read, I recommend that one. So my fiction, the first one was Wednesday Wars by Gary Schmidt. That's on one of my top favorite all-time probably lists. It's technically, I don't know if it's YA or children's. He's like in middle school, but it's also just hilarious. It's so fun. And but also really like there's a lot of heart and a lot of things that you could talk about too. It's not just only funny.
I'm not generally a young adult. Like I don't love a lot of young adult, but that is I love that book so much. I've read it twice. I'm really excited. I'm gonna have Judah, my oldest, read it this year, and I'm gonna read it with him, and I'm very excited about that.
And then some other fiction, Gilead by Marilyn Robinson and Hannah Coulter by Wendell Berry. Those are both kind of similar. They're Christian writers, but they're not published as Christian fiction, you know, with the quotation marks, but just really good literary fiction. Really thoughtful, a lot of things that you could talk about. And then my last two are probably kind of similar to The Optimist's Daughter, Eudora Welty, and Remains of the Day by Kazuo Ishiguro. Those are both more probably literary, I think Remains of the Day will be a classic, but it's probably too recent to call it a classic. And The Optimist's Daughter
Yeah.
is kind of more of a classic. So those are all ones that we've enjoyed in the past. Maybe not everyone's read because of the way we do things, but a lot of people have enjoyed.
Quite a few of those were on my list. There, I'll say a few more that I've enjoyed that you haven't mentioned. The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society was one that I read early on in the book club. And I'll say it was hard for me to get into at the beginning, but I'm so glad I stuck with it because now it's one of my favorite books. If you've seen the movie was really good, but I still think the book is better. The characters are really just so endearing. And then another one is Things of Earth, Treasuring God by Enjoying His Gifts by Joe Rigney. That one is a little, I mean, it's not super thick, but it's a little bit heavier as far as like theology or just Christian living, I guess. He has a smaller, shorter version if you want to get kind of the same info in a quicker fashion, I guess. And that one is called Strangely Bright, I think. Both are really good. Thinking about how do we enjoy the gifts that God has given us without idolizing them or turning our gaze from him. Let's see, one other that I'll say is the Charles Finch has a series, a mystery series that we've all, I think kind of most of us have gotten into over the years. Mm-hmm. The first one is called A Beautiful Blue Death. And that one I also really love. If you're an Agatha Christie fan, I think you'd like these, which I am. I grew up, my mom was a big Agatha Christie fan. So I've been reading those from my teens. And this, I feel like, is the first series that has held a candle to her. So hopefully that gives people a little bit of a jumping off point as far as picking books and curating a little bit of a reading list. I will, like I mentioned, I will list all of these in the show notes so that if you guys want to go back through and write any of them down, you can have their titles and the authors and all of that. Thank you for being with us today, Jessica. I hope this encourages people to pick up a book and invite some friends over.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to our conversation today. I hope it encourages you to use the home you have to share the goodness of God in tangible ways. Any links, products, or recipes we mentioned, as well as social media tags, will be in the show notes below. You can also find our Instagram page for the show at Taste and See Podcast, where I share more practical hospitality tips and encouragement.